T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a Radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
The amount of people who don't believe what they just hear with their own ears is staggering to me. I've got somebody on the text line telling me that we have been played. How does your producer not know that that's Charlie Sheen? I don't understand how you can listen to the entire interview and not know it was Charlie Sheen. My God.
The only person so far that I doubted, like, pretty far into our discussion was Tommy John, and I was convinced by the end.
Yeah, and it was a level of political incorrectness which gave me comfort, which would normally give me pause.
Right.
But it was very age appropriate, so it helped confirm indeed that was Tommy John.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the guy on the text line is yammering about, but then again, I'm usually not sure what they're yammering about.
That's correct. Fair. Correct. Where are you going on vacation next week?
Off the grid.
Oh, okay. Secret location. Ray,
well, not secret, just no one can reach me.
There you go. That's good. Well,
that includes most of my relatives. Which
there go my plans for next week.
I'm guessing people are just beating down the door.
No, they want to beat down the door to get at me, and I won't be there.
Ah. Chris Pratt, are you more famous than Jose Canseco? I would vote yes.
You would?
I would. Today?
If you told me at like 9 years old, Jose Canseco in the 40-40 club, that one day a radio host would say I was a bigger celebrity than Jose Canseco, I would have officially eaten a pile of poop and barked at the moon.
Which is a nice little thing to go home around dinner time with.
It's one way to handle it.
No, I don't know. To me, that's the deal breaker. It's something he's willing to do.
I don't want anyone to actually have to do that again. How could you doubt this?
Hey guys, it's Charlie Sheen calling in, and I'm calling in for Connor Green.
Charlie Sheen for Connor Green. Wow. The other, I wasn't sure about it just because I wasn't sure what he sounded like, was Steve Wozniak.
This is Steve Wozniak. It is I.
Oh, I thought you said it's Ike of Ike Sandwiches for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. No, that's not. By the way, if you know Ike, he actually sounds a little bit like Steve Wozniak.
But we can confirm it was definitely Steve Wozniak, because now he's tweeting about it. What is this? How is this happening?
Damon, would Alex Rodriguez beat out Charlie Sheen at this point? How about this?
No.
Have him give us a call and find out.
Oh, good point.
He might.
That's my bet.
Yeah, you don't want to rain on that parade. You know, I love that you give a quick answer, but not right now.
Now that I think about it, let's find out.
A-Rod, we'd love to talk to you.
A-Rod's girlfriend.
If you can pivot to J-Lo.
Yeah, then we're talking.
So now you're negotiating with somebody who probably isn't going to call anyway.
Dare say someone probably isn't going to call anyway? I'm expecting to hear from Oprah before the end of this hour.
Yeah.
Howard Stern would be a slam dunk from the baseline. That'd be tough to argue with. Charlie Sheen, Oscar winner, has had a career in Hollywood that spanned 3 decades. When you talk about a man having a moment, Chris Pratt fills that. He fills that glass quickly, doesn't he? This guy's having a moment.
Now I'm thinking about J-Lo. She's been in our lives since like 91, 92. Fly girl.
I'm just going to give it to like Antoine Randall L.
28 years of J-Lo in our lives.
I know, but you really didn't know her then. But if you go back, you can pick her out.
Oh, yeah.
This is Richard Sherman.
Oh, Richard Sherman is a bona fide. That's a real football
celebrity.
He just
knocked Randall L.
There you go. Oh, Randall L. got knocked off. By the way, the most amazing female musician that called us was?
Hello, this is Madonna.
No, I'm just kidding. That's Jose Canseco.
No, this was actually the most famous female musician?
My name's Jewel.
What?
Oh, my God. Like
the Jewel?
Jewel? Grammy Jewel?
That's me.
Grammy Jewel. No, she would have been like, she was like, no, like Jewel of the Nile. Which, by the way, still holds water, and that's Charlie Sheen's dad. Is that another point for Charlie Sheen?
Could be.
No.
Would Will Smith beat out Charlie Sheen and Chris Pratt? Pretty much, I think. That's definitely getting in there. We'll put him in the poll, that's for sure.
Would Giants closer Will Smith? I don't know. I don't think so. Oh! Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay.
But in order to be vetted, he'd have to have DJ Jazzy Jeff on the other line.
Amen. 888-957-9570. Yesterday, at the end of the show, and this is why I love live radio, because you never know what's going to happen next. You can have a plan, and then the whole thing blows up if some news breaks. And needless to say, the news that broke at the end of last night's show is really something else. Westbrook for Chris Paul, lots of picks being involved. It's fascinating. And when we sit around one day to talk about just what was Russell Westbrook's career, that's going to be a hard, hard answer to come up with. And it's going to be a hard elevator pitch. Like, you're not going to be able to tell the story of Russell Westbrook quickly.
And it's, I mean, so much could still happen. Even talking about it that way, I think sort of belies how much more of this story there is to be written. Because sure, right now, he's a Rocket, right? And we'll see how that works out this season. But it's going to be his age 31 season. And are you sure he's going to be a Rocket in his age 32 season? And if he's not, who knows? I mean, we talk about guys who have second lives in their career. Russell Westbrook is absolutely young enough where if he did somehow make dramatic changes to his play style, he could fit in any number of places and help any number of teams in this league. It's fascinating.
He's a fascinating player. He is. He's a guy who's been balling out of his mind since the day he hit the NBA, and he took it to such an extreme that the notion of a triple-double, which I always thought was, I mean, how more of an all-court player measurement can you find? He was so enamored with the triple-double, he was able to turn it into a selfish act. I mean, that's one hell of a redefining player, right? I mean, it's incredible what really, really happened to the guy. And when it comes time to write the story of who Russell Westbrook was, if you're an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, I don't know which side you fall on. You think that he was the most loyal to you, most important Thunder ever. He stayed when Durant left. He was really one of the only shows in town for a long time. Or maybe you look at him like, well, there's the guy. You weren't able to pair anyone around. As spectacular as he was, he chased guys out of town, prevented guys coming from town. Even the one guy who agreed to stay around town had one playoff round with him and said, that'll be enough. I think I'm going to move on with Paul George. I'm telling you, it's going to be a college class someday. I don't know if they're going to teach it at Oklahoma or Oklahoma State, but they're going to teach a class one day on Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, but the problem with all of it is that it's a class that has a lot of sort of peripheral evidence, but not much core evidence. And the thing
that
makes...
What do you mean core evidence?
Well, I mean, we don't know really what makes Russell Westbrook tick. We have guesses. But I think without knowing why he is who he is and why he does what he does...
Now he does what he wants.
For now.
It was an ad campaign. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I do what I want.
See, I mean, ad campaigns are lost on an idiot like me.
What about hip-hop music? Sorry, I apologize. Go on.
No. Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. Go ahead, Ray.
I think the biggest takeaway, not just from Westbrook, but from all of this, is the empowerment players got from keeping their mouths shut. More than anything else, for all of time immemorial, it was, well, I need to get this out. I need to tell somebody this. I needed it. And this time was the first time that players said, it doesn't help me to tell anybody anything. And it wasn't just
some players.
Well, some, but I think because players are as imitative as general managers are.
That is the lesson.
The next group of players who enter this process, or a process or even remotely like it, are going to go on full radio silence. I'm done. I don't have to tell you anything. And so much do I not have to tell you anything. I don't have to tell anybody around me except the people I know I can control.
Not only that, but I am less likely to be killed by everybody if I don't talk to you about it. I am less likely to draw absurd flack for whatever decision I make if I just shut up.
Yeah. Better to keep your mouth shut and have people think you a fool than open it and remove all doubt.
No, but I mean, you know, why did Kawhi Leonard get to do what he wanted?
Part of it was because
he never tipped his hand.
Yep.
He just said, I'm going to see what the market is without contributing anything to the noise, and I'll get a truer read of what it is.
Smart.
And I think as a result, he found out that the Clippers wanted him for longer, and they did more structurally to make that work. And I think, and this is not just for him, but I think other players saw, hey, I kind of like that way.
And they did more to create a landing spot for him that would be successful and soft.
I'm 99% hearing he played his cards correctly. This is Hunter calling from the Sunset. Hello, Hunter.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just want to get to a couple facts. So when KD played with Russ, he was MVP and he led the league in scoring. When Paul George played with Russ, he had arguably his best stat year, averaging like 28 points per game. Also, in 2016, I believe, when the Warriors came back from 3-1, if you take that Thunder team and you switch Roberson with Klay Thompson, the Thunder can go for a three-peat right there. You know, they just need another.
Yeah, that team was outside. Look, you can't say any team was scarier than the team that beat you at home in Game 7. That Thunder team was, if I had to rank Warrior threats, the team that won Game 7 goes 1. And I even think that the Thunder team that had the Warriors down 3-1 was an almost scarier basketball thought from front to back than the Houston Rockets. And the Rockets were probably the scariest thing if you put it out to a public vote. But the Oklahoma City Thunder drafted 3 MVPs. They had 3 MVPs drafted.
Yeah, so there's two things I would respond to there. One is the point he makes that it's probably not fair to blame Sam Presti, it's probably ownership. It is probably Clay Bennett who is to blame for all of this.
Right, he's not the Joe Lacob spend whatever guy.
If they had just been willing to bust into the luxury tax to pay James Harden in the first place, who knows where this thing would have gone. It's another great what if for NBA history.
What if Wednesday? Write that down.
I am not equally willing to jump on the train of actually Westbrook makes guys better. Yes, Paul George had a phenomenal year last year. I would argue that is the result of a man hitting his athletic prime at 28 and being now several years removed from one of the most horrifying injuries we've ever seen. I think that's just Paul George being really great. And the Kevin Durant thing, he did win MVP and a scoring title the year Russ Westbrook was out for half the season. And I think that's exactly the point, is Kevin Durant wasn't going to win a scoring title or an MVP as long as Russell Westbrook was playing next to him for 82 games. It is what it is.
The only thing preventing Russell Westbrook from being a supernova that no one questions is if he understood math a little bit better and what his cutoff point was for pushing the math of your game.
He shot 5.5 threes a game at 29% last year. Why?
Right.
Tell me why.
You can't. Here's the thing. You can take 3 at 29%, but
maybe
you can't take 5.
Maybe, but if you're
5.
Russell Westbrook, I would argue there are any number of things you could do different and better than shoot all 5.5 of those threes. Now, that may not be realistic.
Well, here's the
thing. If you're going to be a star, you might have to take 3.
But here's the deal. So what is you're a good three-point shooter if you do it around 30% a clip. So if you're only shooting about 30%, you take that sample size down to, I'm taking about 3 a game, and hopefully I hit 1. Maybe I heat check myself. I hit 2-3 in a row tonight, and you know what? You hit 2 or 3 in a row, take a fourth. But he would launch regardless of result. He was like playing the roulette wheel. Outcome, previous outcome doesn't determine the next outcome.
But the thing that they tell shooters,
and he ain't a shooter forever, but he's not a shooter.
The thing they tell shooters is when you miss, don't stop shooting. And whether he's a shooter or not, he was used as one. And nobody, and Billy Donovan never told him not to
stop. I can't agree with that.
Whether you can or not, I'm going to finish my point. Billy Donovan has basically let Russell Westbrook be that team. And he has for since he got there.
Actually, we have on the record not only Billy Donovan, but Scott Brooks before him talking about how they'd prefer to have Russ play differently in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
And he doesn't listen. That's not on coaching. At a certain point, you got to take some personal responsibility.
Well, okay, except that Scott Brooks wasn't the guy who stayed. Scott Brooks got fired, which means that the organization, and Billy Donovan is part of that, no matter what he says, you know, Russell Westbrook is doing what he wants. And if you have so little authority that you just sort of go, okay, well, then that's what that is, then that's one of two things. Either you're feckless or Clay Bennett wants Russell Westbrook to be happy.
Or the Right, of course
and,
he does.
And so if that's the case, and I'm not saying Russell Westbrook is actually not a greedy player. What I'm saying is there's nobody there to tell him this doesn't work.
Right. I don't want to say uncoachable, but how can you reel a guy's game in when you can't even reel his press conference in?
I mean,
Russell Westbrook became next question. He had that one fatwa against
that is organization.
That they especially enabled, if not promoted, because that goes back to the Durant era. That goes back to basically the entirety of the Oklahoma City Thunder existing, is they are notoriously difficult with media, and that is an organizational philosophy. But to me, I simply cannot believe that at some point in the last 9 years, in fact, at many points in the last 9 years, people have not gone to Russell Westbrook and been like, listen, man, we could be better if you would do these things. And I think at the end of the day, he's just not doing those things. Now, I guess you can say that's on each successive coaching staff or ownership for not empowering the coach enough. But at what point do we just say this is a player who will not change no matter what happens around him?
Well, why exactly should you change if the people in charge don't mind what you're doing?
Because maybe you want to succeed.
Well, clearly they prefer this, and they think this is the best way to succeed.
But they don't because they traded him.
The year that he went full Oscar Robertson, there was no indication at any point that this was the optimal strategy, but they were good with it. They were all good with it, which means Russell Westbrook is getting the messaging very clearly. They're good with what I do, whatever I do.
And I think that messaging...
And I think that's not all on him. If he's basically encouraged to be whatever he wants to be, he's going to be what he wants to be.
That's fair.
Damon, with all this NBA talk still running during the night, baseball second half returns. Can you drop a Kawhi NBA's theme remix on me?
Yeah, sure.
It's unstoppable. Let's be totally honest. It's unstoppable. 888-957-9570 is the number. The other thing that happened in sports today in terms of, is that something juicy to talk about? I thought this was juicy to talk about. Saw this about an hour before the show started. Pro Football Talk saying that Andrew Beaton of the Wall Street Journal reports that the NFL is putting out a push for an 18-game regular season with the possibility of a per-player limit of 16 games per year. We started blowing holes in this immediately, and I really have to herald it as a ridiculous thing to even bring up. But it does have people behind it that I guess officially matter a little bit in the NFL, namely Jerry Jones, who I guess is one of the ones – who officially put it on the table.
Oh, so, Jerry Jones wants more money. I am shocked.
No, Jerry Jones has been pushing this even harder than Goodell is. But Goodell's job is to push the things the owners want him to push. Most of the owners want 18 games. The guy down the street wants it. The guy across the bay wants it.
Because it sounds to them like free cash.
Yeah. And what it really is cash. But it comes at a cost that none of them are really that interested in knowing about, because the NFL, like Major League Baseball, is interested in the short money.
Right. And
I want to get paid today, because this is going to go on forever. And I think they're all going to end up wrong, but by the time they're wrong, many of them will be dead.
I think dilution of the product is one of the biggest problems sports is facing. And the NFL's true value is what a rare commodity a Sunday of football is. We don't get nearly enough of them, and that's why it's stretched out to Monday night and Thursday night, and we got it on holidays like never before, and it's all over the place. More is not always better. It might be better today, but in the long run, I mean, what would push people away? Overexposure.
Well, the NFL, more forgivably than baseball, but much like baseball, has pretty much shown us, in my view, over and over again, that they don't know what their own appeal is. They're shooting in the dark. They know they're immensely popular. They know they're on top of the sports world in America, but they don't know why. Because if you ask me, there's already countless things they do that they could be even more popular if they didn't do them. I already think there are uncaptured potential NFL viewers, but they presume, well, look at all the money we're making. Look how many people are watching us relative to other games. We must be doing everything right. And it's just, it's ignorant of potential opportunity cost.
It almost took other leagues stepping into the game for them to put on their thinking hats and, all right, well, what can we do differently in terms of game day presentation, television presentation?
And, of course, they return to the same dumb idea they've had for 15 years about making two extra games, which now their concession is, we'll make two extra games that aren't as good as the first 16.
Because they think inventory is the only thing that matters.
Yeah.
Because inventory, while value neutral and in some cases value deficient, it still means more is more.
It creates revenue.
It's economics for morons. It just, if you give them more, they will show up because they are obliged to show up.
Right.
And people are only obliged to show up if they feel like they have to be there. And once you start showing people that you're not giving them all the bang for their buck, they are going to start walking away. I mean, down the road, they announce sellouts, but they don't get them. I mean, they're chasing people away now. And it's not just because the team stinks. It's because the stadium's not good. It's because you're not getting value for the money they're asking you to lay out. And I think in a few years, the Warriors could be looking at the same thing, where they price themselves out of their market because they're not giving value for value.
It's a realistic possibility. I mean, I have talked to countless people about Levi's Stadium who have bought the priciest of tickets, and they insist right now they would pay double the price to go back to Candlestick.
The good news is the sun and the drive time will not be an issue for the Chase Center.
You're right about that.
No, that's true. But what I'm saying is
I agree with you.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm just, I mean,
right now it's, you have a better sight line and in-game experience over in Oakland.
We're getting a signal.
Yeah, I'm getting a signal over there. Why don't you just put the celebrity through? It's happening. All right, well, I'm about, so, all right. Well,
over to you.
Is that, did anyone record that?
But by
Can
the
we
way,
get that played back?
No, we cannot get it played
that
back.
That was Round Ball Rock. That wasn't the Entertainment Tonight theme.
Yeah, no, he was doing the Kawhi.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was trying to signal.
Oh, no. I think he was just doing your other time waster. He was giving you a free time waster.
I'll take a time waster.
510 texter says, I see more of a Westbrook versus Harden than a Westbrook and Harden. The Rockets are all drama. Well, that's the question, right? That's what's going to make this thing such an intriguing thing to watch in the early going, is we don't know. Is it going to be the seamless combination, or are we going to be looking at two guys who look like they're pulling the rope in different directions? Because certainly by the end of the Chris Paul era, that is what it looked like at times. And reporting around that is that it was even worse behind the scenes. You have to turn on your microphone. What?
Oh, that was my
fault.
What
a time.
God, what a clown.
Steven in Oakland. You're on 95.7 The Game, Steven.
Hey, guys. So I would be quick because I had an answer for the football extension of the season. They add two extra bye weeks to the and one extra bye week at the beginning of the playoffs, almost like college football. They would get added revenue from the TV dollars because, hey, people are going to tune in anyway. And then they could add maybe like five extra roster spots to each team.
That's right. To me, I don't need extra weeks. I need extra roster spots. But right now, I need extra time. I'm going long in this segment because apparently we have another celebrity here on the dial pad guest line. I am told this man has appeared in one of the most beloved movies in American cinema. I have not heard anything beyond that. Mr. Mystery Guest, hello, who are you?
Hey, my name is Michael T. Williamson. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing fantastic, and
my weekend's in.
This is Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Right.
Hell yeah, it is.
And Fences as well, a couple years ago with Denzel and Viola Davis.
Very nice.
Oscar winner.
I heard it's a great movie.
That's right. You know your movies. There
yeah,
you go, baby.
I do.
I didn't slip into that one. I haven't seen that.
A tremendous performance by you, if I may say so myself.
Well, you got some catching up to do.
I do. Matt's all caught up.
I'm ready.
I got some catching up to do. Michael, thank you very much for giving us a call. Whom are you calling in for today?
You know what? I'm calling in for James Lucero Sr.
And how do you know him?
You know what? I've known James Lucero for a very long time. His son is actually a business partner of mine, and I've known the Lucero family for a very long time.
Very cool. What business are you in?
Motion picture business. we make movies and television. I'm actually one of the directors on Chicago PD this last couple of years.
Oh, very cool.
So that's been really good, man, keeping me busy.
Was it fun to move behind the camera?
Yeah, it is. I've actually been behind the camera since the 80s, but I just, you know, a lot of guys run their mouth all the time. As soon as they get one directing job, everybody in the world knows it. You know what I mean?
So we were just saying directors should be more like Kawhi Leonard. You get what you want the less you say, right?
I think so.
Hey,
Kawhi Leonard's amazing, man. You see that? You see the gangster move he pulled on the NBA? I'm like, oh my goodness, man.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Come on, he only owned a league. Everybody does that.
Michael right. T. Williamson joining us here on the dial pad guest line. Did you ever get a cut of all those Bubba Gump shrimp restaurants, man? Because if it weren't for you, they got no restaurant.
Well, they've got a bunch of them. I've never been happy about my name being used and my face being used on those restaurants. It's always been a drag to me. But, I get no part of it. But, you know, I was actually trying to time it to come on the call with my dear friend and golf buddy, Gary Sinise.
What?
But I just couldn't work it out with his timing. You know, I needed one more day.
Oh, well,
but Gary doesn't mind, but I can't stand it.
A man of principle is to be treasured.
Absolutely. Michael T. also in the movie Heat with Pacino and De Niro. Is it true that Pacino and De Niro never sat at the same table to film that scene? It was edited.
No, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. I was on the set that day, but it's the first time they've been on set together. You know, at the same time. But they were in The Godfather, but they shot their scenes at different times on different days. But no, but they were there, you know. They were absolutely there, and I was there. It was an off day for me, you know, but I played Pacino's partner in Heat.
Yes.
And the way I got the job was Pacino was a little ticked off because I did not get a nomination for Forrest Gump, and he thought I got robbed. So he had Michael Mann in the studio pay off the actor they'd hired to be his partner, and he paid me out of his pocket. And so that's how I ended up in Heat.
Wow. Do we know who the other actor that you replaced was, or do you not want to tell us?
I don't know who he was. I don't know if he wants his name mentioned if you find out who he is, but, you know, I'm just not sure. But Pacino actually paid me out of pocket, and then and Michael Mann actually paid off the other actor.
That's Friends in High Places.
Before me.
That is Friends in High Places.
We don't need to know who the other guy is. The story stands on its own.
Absolutely.
Michael, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate hearing from you today. Again, who are you calling to represent?
You know, I'm calling in to represent James Lucero Sr.
Well,
one of the coolest guys. Yeah, he's up in the Bay Area, in the San Jose, up in the Milpitas area.
Thanks to you, Michael. He's got a
you could ever meet.
He's got a chance to win $5,000. Thanks to you, man. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey.
Yes.
I appreciate you guys. I'll call back to promote my next movie. Don't act like you don't know me.
Do it. We're happy to have you.
No.
All right.
We'll do it.
We knew you this time. Guys. I don't think we'll forget.
Yeah. We got it. I promise. We will remember. Ray Ratto's got a long memory, that's for sure. Could be some short-term issues for the other guys in the room. 888-957-9570. That's the number. We got open calls. We got open lines. I am going to take it to the tweets. Should the opportunity present itself? Let's see if we go ahead. Oh, no, I'm just going longer. Okay.
Wait, oh, my goodness gracious.
I am told this man has appeared in one of the most beloved movies in American cinema. I have not heard anything beyond that. Mr. Mystery Guest, hello, who are you?
Hey, my name is Michael T. Williamson. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing fantastic, and
my weekend's in.
This is Bubba from Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Right.
Hell yeah, it is.
In Fences as well, a couple years ago with Denzel and Viola Davis.
Very nice.
Oscar winner.
I heard it's a great movie.
That's right. You know your movies. There you go, baby.
I do.
I didn't slip into that one. I haven't seen that.
A tremendous performance by you, if I may say so myself.
Well, you got some catching up to do.
I do. Matt's all caught up.
I'm ready.
I got some catching up to do. Michael, thank you very much for giving us a call. Whom are you calling in for today?
You know what? I'm calling in for James Lucero Sr.
And how do you know him?
You know what? I've known James Lucero for a very long time. His son is actually a business partner of mine, and I've known the Lucero family for a very long time.
Very cool. What business are you in?
Motion picture business. we make movies and television. I'm actually one of the directors on Chicago PD this last couple of years.
Oh, very cool.
So that's been really good, man, keeping me busy.
Was it fun to move behind the camera?
Yeah, it is. I've actually been behind the camera since the 80s, but I just, you know, a lot of guys run their mouth all the time. As soon as they get one directing job, everybody in the world knows it. You know what I mean?
So we were just saying directors should be more like Kawhi Leonard. You get what you want the less you say, right?
I think so.
Hey,
Kawhi Leonard's amazing, man. You see that? You see the gangster move he pulled on the NBA? I'm like, oh my goodness, man.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Come on, he only owned a league. Everybody does that.
Michael T. Williamson joining us here on the Dial Pad guest line. Did you ever get a cut of all those Bubba Gump shrimp restaurants, man? Because if it weren't for you, they got no restaurant.
Well, they've got a bunch of them. I've never been happy about my name being used and my face being used on those restaurants. It's always been a drag to me. But, yeah, I get no part of it. But, you know, I was actually trying to time it to come on the call with my dear friend and golf buddy, Gary Sinise.
What?
But I just couldn't work it out with his timing. You know, I needed one more day.
Oh, well,
but Gary doesn't mind, but I can't stand it.
A man of principle is to be treasured.
Absolutely. Michael T. also in the movie Heat with Pacino and De Niro. Is it true that Pacino and De Niro never sat at the same table to film that scene? It was edited.
No, that's not true. That's absolutely not true. I was on the set that day, but it's the first time they've been on set together. You know, at the same time. But they were in The Godfather, but they shot their scenes at different times on different days. But no, but they were there, you know, they were absolutely there, and I was there. It was an off day for me, you know, but I played Pacino's partner in Heat.
Yes.
And the way I got the job was Pacino was a little ticked off because I did not get a nomination for Forrest Gump, and he thought I got robbed. So he had Michael Mann in the studio pay off the actor they'd hired to be his partner, and he paid me out of his pocket. And so that's how I ended up in Heat.
Wow. Do we know who the other actor that you replaced was, or do you not want to tell us?
I don't know who he was. I don't know if he wants his name mentioned if you find out who he is, but, you know, I'm just not sure. But Pacino actually paid me out of pocket, and then and Michael Mann actually paid off the other actor.
That's Friends in High Places.
Before me.
That is, yeah. Friends in High Places.
We don't need to know who the other guy is. The story stands on its own.
Absolutely.
Michael, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate hearing from you today. Again, who are you calling to represent?
You know, I'm calling in to represent James Lucero Sr.
Well,
one of the coolest guys. Yeah, he's up in the Bay Area, in the San Jose, up in the Milpitas area.
Thanks to you, Michael. He's got a
you could ever meet.
He's got a chance to win $5,000. Thanks to you, man. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in.
Hey.
Yes.
I appreciate you guys. I'll call back to promote my next movie. Don't act like you don't know me.
Do it.
We're happy to have you.
Done. No.
We'll do
All right.
it. We'll do it.
We knew you this
right,
time.
Guys.
I don't think we'll forget.
Yeah. We got it. I promise. We will remember. Ray Ratto's got a long memory, that's for sure. Could be some short-term issues for the other guys in the room. 888-957-9570. That's the number. We got open calls. We got open lines. I am going to take it to the tweets. Should the opportunity present itself, let's see if we go ahead. Oh, no, I'm just going longer. Okay.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow. When they say break all the rules of radio and just keep on going, forget about it. By the way, I guess, Elena, you don't have to worry about that update anymore, right?
Can I just say one thing? The celebrity contest has been truly some of the best content of my radio life. And there's only been one horrifying downside, which is that I now walk around in a daze with the Entertainment Tonight theme bouncing around my skull.
You're welcome.
I can't get it out of my head now. So that's just how I have to live from here on out, which is a little disappointing.
Drink more.
All right. That's a good advice.
That or embrace the Patrick Bertrand. Plastic Bertrand. It's time for your Tour de France update. Ray, you ready to help me butcher some names in Paris?
Bring the fastball.
All right, so welcome to our coverage of the Tour de France. We decided to start in stage 7 because I really didn't even know that the Tour de France was on until it came across my Twitter timeline, and I just don't want to let anyone down anymore by not updating what's going on. Unfortunately, I think I threw away the piece of paper with my Tour de France update on. Oh, no, here we go. I'm happy to say that we have a Dutchman in the lead. Dylan Groewegaergen. You want to help me with that, Ray?
I'm trying to look for it now.
Yeah, Dylan Groewegaergen. He is Dutch. That was the Stage 7 Tour's longest stage. It was 230 kilometers, which is official haul from Belfort to Chalon-sur-Saron. How's that sound to you, Ray?
Oh, God. You're
It took him 6 hours, 2 minutes, and 44 seconds. Stage 8 will be tomorrow. Just a
6 hours for 230 miles?
Yeah, that's hauling on a bicycle.
That's fast, man.
That's hauling.
Yeah. Dylan Groenewegen.
Dylan Groenewegen. Like Farfignugen.
No, like Groenewegen.
Groenewegen it is. I miss Chris Froome. I could at least pronounce that. That was a couple tours ago. Tomorrow, a 200-kilometer jaunt from Mâcon to Saint-Étienne. ATN.
Yeah, I knew.
I knew I got that wrong as soon as I said it. I'm like, I can do better on this. All right, considering my guest line is no longer ringing at all, are you Is anyone going to help me through this segment? Or is anyone going to tell me what to do?
We're 10 minutes late to break. Do we go to break or do we continue?
Do you want me to vamp?
You're going to break at 40.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to break at 40 no matter whether or not we get a call in or not. We have made executive decisions.
I like when the drinking starts early.
I'm ready for one. It's a cocktail Friday if there ever was one. I can promise you that. The celebrity contest has been simply fantastic. Nick Young is pretty sure he's won. Again, Jesus not available to call in today. Hasn't
well,
been.
Yet.
We got his mother almost.
Hello, this is Madonna.
No, I'm just kidding. That's a Zayn Seiko.
Oh, I see what you did there. I got you.
See what I did?
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's a slow play.
Took me a second.
You got to set it up.
Wait, Shams Bomb, former number one pick.
Anthony Bennett
has agreed to a deal with the Rockets. Non-guaranteed. It wasn't a bomb.
It was more like a Woj grenade.
It was a Woj dud.
It was a Woj, yeah.
A Shams dud.
So, Anthony Bennett, Houston Rocket.
Yeah, how far the mighty have fallen from number one overall pick to non-guaranteed minimum in a matter of a few seasons.
Unbelievable. Someone's like, Damon, is Miley Cyrus calling in?
I'm here for that. Make sure I have a whole lot of ideas for Miley Cyrus. Get her number if she calls.
Stick the tongue out more?
No, I'm just a fan. I think she's an interesting celebrity and a talented artist.
The only thing I would have to ask is, did you ever think your dad would be getting a standing ovation on the BET Music Awards?
Right? That's crazy.
That happened.
Billy Ray.
We've had an unbelievable time with the celebrity contest.
This is Richard Sherman.
Oh,
Richard Sherman is a bona fide. That's a real football celebrity.
He just knocked Randall L. off the hill, Damon. How does it feel?
I feel bad for Antoine Randall L. I really, really do. It's rough. By the way, someone said that should be described as a Shams water balloon.
Solid.
Very good.
Look, he can't be in charge of the news that exists. He can only report what is there. It's not, I grant you, it's not Westbrook for Paul, but that doesn't happen every day.
No, it doesn't.
This was the thing that appeared before him. Now, you put it out there and you let us spit all over it.
He got it. So did this yesterday. We had ourselves a very large celebrity win yesterday's celebrity contest.
Yo, what's up, Damon? This is Chris Pratt calling.
Star-Lord?
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Star-Lord.
Star-Lord is calling. Oh, my. Come on, man. Chris Pratt is here on 95.7 The Game. It was great to talk to. He really was yesterday. Could not have been more charming. Asked him if he were more famous than Jose Canseco. Are you more famous than Jose Canseco? I would vote yes.
You would?
I would. Today?
If you told me at like 9 years old, Jose Canseco in the 40-40 club, that one day a radio host would say I was a bigger celebrity than Jose Canseco, I would have officially eaten a pile of poop and barked at the moon.
Today's question has become, is he a bigger celebrity than this guy?
Hey, guys, it's Charlie Sheen calling in, and I'm calling in for Connor Green.
Charlie Sheen for Connor Green. Wow. Ricky Vaughn.
Wild
came in the ninth inning. Very impressive. Speaking of ninth innings, I had to ask Charlie about his relationship with Brian Wilson. Did Brian Wilson, former San Francisco Giants closer, become you, or did you become him?
I became him. Yes, it was all those catchphrases were I don't want to say stolen. They were borrowed. And then disseminated as you all witnessed. But I never felt right taking credit for all that stuff because it didn't come out of my brain. It certainly went into my brain and came out in very very very, very strange and odd moments. I'm not the author of that. I was the architect, but not the author.
He was like, I was going through that in very odd moments. Yeah, that was an odd moment.
Can I cover two very unrelated things very quick? Well, one.
Please.
The reason why LeBron James can't change his number this year, you'll like this even more than the excuse you're going to have. Apparently, either the Lakers or LeBron would have to buy up all the inventory of James 23 jerseys.
Unsold?
Yeah, whatever is out there, they would have to pay for it. The number is in the tens of millions.
Of dollars or jerseys?
Of dollars.
Wow.
And neither Lakers nor LeBron want to do that. That's why Davis doesn't get his number till next year.
Here's what I don't get. You need to buy them all back. Just take the LeBron James nameplate off and put Davis on.
All I'm telling you is...
Oh, no, wait. Well, I guess they've already got next year's jerseys out them. I mean, have they even produced next year's jerseys?
No, they have LeBron James 23 jersey. It's the existing inventory. And the league is saying that either the Lakers or LeBron have to buy up all the inventory.
Do the Thunder have to buy Russell Westbrook inventory?
No, because he's not changing a number.
But any Thunder jerseys are useless.
Yeah,
just as useless as...
But that's the business of the league happening, not the business of jersey sales happening.
Yeah, I guess, but so is Anthony Davis coming? I don't know. Who cares?
Right.
But it seems silly.
I don't begrudge the NBA for saying our league business supersedes whatever business, side business we're doing with our sponsors. I could understand why the sponsor is saying, hey, wait a minute. We have a very...
Yeah, we're not eating these.
...lucrative relationship, you and I, or LeBron. Let's not go screwing that up. So you asked me...
I think you could still sell them.
You asked me to vamp to 40. That's exactly what I did. Whoever was supposed to call in, I'm sorry, that may or may not still happen. I don't know. I got Elena for you right here. And when we come on back, whatever celebrity is about to call me, better do it lickety-split, because I've got poll results. I think I have a decision, and we'll announce it all in our final segment coming up after Elena. Hello, Elena.
Lickety-split.
Lickety split, what's happening on the game, brought to you by Chilton Autobody. We've got one segment left. We will crown the winner of the celebrity call-in contest. It's been going on all week. Huge success. One person's going to win $5,000 courtesy of Dialpad. And Damon is going to tell you who the winner is coming up next. Have a great weekend, everybody. We're sponsored by Chilton Autobody, whether it's a major collision or just a scratch or a door ding. Chilton Autobody's 11 convenient Bay Area locations are just a call or a click away. Stop in or schedule an appointment today at ChiltonAutobody.com. That's ChiltonAutobody.com. I'm Elena Matsourakis on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
We have Twitter poll evidence. I have taken some informal polling around the office. Even though it's my call, I had to ask Ray, I had to ask Matt about what they thought. A lot of people weighing in left and right. I will let you know who indeed the winner of the celebrity contest is, and $5,000. Oh my gosh. It's coming up in just a little bit. Stick around.
Unless somebody else calls in the next 8 minutes who beats the current leader in the clubhouse.
Oprah, we need to hear from you immediately. I'll tell you what takes the cake right now. Because we're really down to two. It's been an incredible field. Chris Harris Jr., Roberto Gonzalez, Tamara Morey, who was day one winner, by the way. Maury, thank you very much. Maury
is
our day
Daryl Morey.
It's Maury.
I'm terrible at it. Here's a name I got, Antoine Randall. And by the way, he's our winner. Congratulations. No, I'm sorry. Aaron Hill of the Giants, former major leaguer. Richard Sherman, Hall of Fame cornerback to be. Michael Wilbon, one of the biggest journalists of all sports time. I won't tell him that. Don't tell him I said that, Ray.
You're so buried with me.
Clyde Drexler was our day two winner. He was playing for a nun. He's also a dream teamer, so that was kind of easy. We had Baby Bash call in, running back C.J. Anderson, Don Nelson, who was pushing Nelly Kush on us. We had this legend.
This is Steve Wozniak. It is I.
It is. Oh, I thought you said it's Ike. Of Ike. Steve Wozniak called in. That's maybe one of our bigger surprises. Tommy John, by the way, Steve Wozniak was our day three winner. I don't know if anything got us bigger buzz than this, though.
There's no bigger celebrities than me, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean...
unless it's Jesus. Jesus, man, you know.
Can I just say that Nick Young saying there's no bigger celebrity than me was the biggest Ray Ratto laugh of the week?
It really was. Probably the only Ray Ratto laugh of the week.
Here, yeah.
Who rolls the best blunt in the NBA?
I don't know. That's snitching. I can't be snitching. Probably Steve Kerr.
threw Steve under the bus there. We will
I can't be snitching.
Yeah.
Well, but
it's
probably Steve.
I think that was that led right to the to it because it was like I can't be snitching, but I can snitch on Kerr. It's a Kerr is a person who's okay to snitch on.
And I think it is our job now to say that he and Nick Young never got along, and this is the proof.
It's certainly our job to play that back for Steve Kerr next time we talk to him.
It's 100% follow-up question coming for Steve Kerr, I promise you, the next time we talk to him. When it comes to snitches, Nick Young ain't having it.
Have you squashed whatever beef you had with D'Angelo Russell?
Oh, no. He's closer to L.A. now, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's right down the street from you. Are you guys cool? What's the deal?
Nah, can't be cool.
There's no coming back.
Well, you know. There's no coming back from that.
No coming back. Hopefully he doesn't bring that cell phone into the Warriors locker room ever.
My name's Jewel.
What?
Oh, my God. Like
the Jewel?
Jewel? Grammy Jewel?
That's me.
She's like, yeah, jackasses. You know another Jewel? Be honest.
These clips are such a good reflection of my participation in this contest, which is mostly, huh? Oh, my God.
Well, it's fun. I think, you know.
Jose Canseco on Lonely Island paying a tribute to the Bash Brothers.
Well, it's fun. I think, you know, the era happened. I think people are taking it too serious.
Yeah.
I think they make fun of it in a very educational, light way and kind of tell a story of baseball's history that really did happen. You know, some of it is out of proportion. Some of it's extremely accurate, but it's a lot of fun. Actually, I tweeted about Lonely Island, and their manager called me back. So I actually went on tour with them their last two dates.
Baby, without a doubt, the most pointed thing, any criticism from anyone, was when Jose took on Bud.
Bud Selig is the most pathetic, hypocritical individual I've ever seen in my life. Of course he knew steroids were in the game. How does this individual who knew players were using steroids get inducted into a Hall of Fame? To me, it's so hypocritical, it's so disgusting, it's amazing.
And again, Jose Canseco, come on. Who would have ever thought Chris Pratt?
Are you more famous than Jose Canseco? I would vote yes.
You would?
I would. Today?
If you told me at like 9 years old, Jose Canseco in the 40-40 club, that one day a radio host would say I was a bigger celebrity than Jose Canseco, I would have officially eaten a pile of poop and barked at the moon.
Fred Armisen gave us a call. We had Fred Biletnikoff, Matt Barnes. I mean, we brought you Ken Rosenthal, for goodness sakes.
They've got all these things conflicting.
I'm just kidding. Ken Rosenthal was a booked guest by the station. He was not part of the celebrity contest. We brought you Michael T. Williamson, who just called in, getting under the wire. I don't know if he is more famous than our first call of today, which came from a Saturday Night Live local legend.
This is the Secret Square. My name is Dana Carvey from San Carlos. I'm not a robot.
When he said he was a Secret Square, I thought it was Paul Lynde.
Oh, my.
I mean, he's dead. Don't get me wrong. But I thought we had cracked the barrier.
He was on the B. Arthur line.
And we did establish if a dead person had called, they would win.
Yes.
For a minute there, I think most of America would have bet by now dead person would be the category. But no, he's up. He's kicking. He called us.
Hey, guys. It's Charlie Sheen calling in. And I'm calling in for Connor Green.
Charlie Sheen for Connor Green, wow. Charlie Sheen called in today, and Charlie Sheen is in one of the great baseball movies of all time. He is an Oscar winner. He is in Wall Street. Emilio Estevez is his brother. The family Hollywood history in the Sheen family runs incredibly deep.
And yes, his real name is Carlos Estevez.
It's hard to not choose him because I've seen so much of the career. What was a bigger TV show? Two and a Half Men or Parks and Rec? Two and a Half Men by a country mile. And Parks and Rec was really, really popular. I spent most of the day thinking that this has got to be Charlie Sheen. About 2.5 hours ago, I was thinking this has got to be Charlie Sheen. Are you ready for the answer?
Nah, let's wait till Monday.
I'll tell you when you get back from vacation. Sports don't build character. Cool. Thank you so much.
So long, suckers.
After careful deliberation, after trying to figure out what the word celebrity means today, and then having that definition change itself in front of my very eyes when I find out Charlie Sheen has more Twitter followers than Chris Pratt, who's definitely having his moment right now? I didn't know what to do. So I decided it's Antoine Randall out. No, it's Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is the official winner. Chris Pratt is the winner of the $5,000 weekly prize. We thank all the celebrities who called in. Chris Pratt's the winner. His brother up in Solano got him to call in, and he won a $1,000 daily prize along with the $5,000 grand prize. That is $6,000 going to Chris Pratt's brother's charity up in Solano County. So I'm very happy with where the actual winnings will go as well. But that really wasn't it. I did reach through some crowdsourcing and this, a very important Twitter poll. The bigger celebrity on Twitter was chosen Chris Pratt, 55 to 45 over Charlie Sheen. And I'm not going to argue with that today. A lot of people are already upset. Charlie, boo, wild thing, boo.
Sorry. Sorry, everybody.
Chris Pratt, the answer is final, and we hope you can live with it. I know I can live with it. Thank you so much to Dialpad. Dialpad, we don't do this without you. Dialpad, incredible week of radio. Thanks to you and the prizes that you sponsored. Thank you so much. What an awesome sponsorship. What a great partnership here on 95.7 The Game. I want to thank Brooks of Sports by Brooks, who joined us today. Thank you to Lucas, who helped out. Albie's already on vacation. Ray and Matt both going on vacation. Guys, have a great time as you step away.
No.
Breathe deeply out your third eye. Come on back with your chakras aligned. We'll have a really, really fun week next week. Darren Smith, who today filled in for Rich Eisen, might have heard of him, and is on the beach down in San Diego, one of the best broadcasters going on the West Coast. He's going to come and be a fill-in host with me all next week. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. Thanks to everyone who called. This was a fun week, a fun week, and thanks to everyone. Lots of moving parts and hands-on decks here at the station. Matt Nahagian, Danny Freisinger, awesome job all around. Thank you to our intern, Spencer. Elena, merci beaucoup and c'est si bon, which reminds me, more Tour de France coming to you next week, so reason to tune back in. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Hello, this is Madonna.
No, I'm just kidding. That's Jose Canseco.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.